Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining me today, November 3rd, 2010, is my lovely, very authentic guest, Rhonda Darville. Rhonda, how are you doing today?
I am great, Jory. It is such a wonderful thing to be here with you today. I am doing well.
Isn't it fun? Well, we're going to have a great time, Rhonda, and you have such a beautiful message to bring to our listeners. My friend and co-host Beth Scanzani will do her best to join us on her break today. She's working on a special assignment away from her home office. So I greet you, Rhonda, and you, our listeners, on Beth's behalf. Beth and I extend an especially warm welcome to those of you who are listening to Heart and Soul for the first time. We hope you'll consider doing four things to help us spread the word about this radio show. Number one, mark Heart and Soul a favorite by clicking on the little red heart on our Blog Talk Radio show page. Number two, follow Heart and Soul by clicking on the follow button on our show page. Number three, tweet Heart and Soul either from our show page or directly from my website, womenfindpurpose.com. And number four, add the Blog Talk Radio player for this show directly to your website or blog, and that's from the blogtalkradio.com website. For your convenience, you can also download each show as an MP3 or to iTunes directly from our Heart and Soul show page on blogtalkradio.com. So enough of that. Rhonda, a warm welcome to you. Would you like to say a few words about what we'll be discussing today?
Oh, Jory, I'm so excited about today. We're talking about created for a purpose, and we're going to look at our past, but just not our past life, but even deeper than that. Why we were created, who we were created by, and that there's an ultimate plan for each and every one of our lives. And no matter what path we take, that we can still get back there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And before we launch into your introduction and interview, I just want to say a word about who Beth and I are, what we do, and the context and format for this show, Heart and Soul. My co-host, Beth Scanzani, is a life leadership true purpose and dream coach from Rockport, Massachusetts, with a corporate background in human resources. I'm a career, calling, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia, with a background in law, academia, and Christian ministry. We are both very passionate about helping people discern their life purpose, and we're professionally trained and highly skilled in doing so. We work with individuals and groups by telephone and in person. For more information about our services, you may email Beth at BethScanzani, S-C-A-N-Z-A-N-I, BethScanzani@AOL.com, or me through my website, WomenFindPurpose.com. Our vision for Heart and Soul is to create a place, number one, where you can be inspired, encouraged, and supported by people who are making a meaningful difference in their own lives and in the lives of others. And Rhonda, you're a perfect example of that. And number two, where you can gain some insight into your life purpose and how you can express that unique life purpose to the fullest. Beth and my motivation for hosting Heart and Soul is our deep desire to fulfill and express our respective life purposes, which includes helping you discover who you are and how you're meant to use your gifts and talents in the world around you. Just want to say a few more words about how you can listen and participate. You can listen live each week by calling 347-326-9296 at 12 noon Eastern each and every Wednesday. To listen live online or to listen to any of our archived on-demand shows, just go to blogtalkradio.com, type Jory Fisher, J-O-R-Y-F-I-S-H-E-R, in the search box, and click on the show you wish to hear. During Rhonda's interview, I'm hoping to monitor the chat room. We're having a few technical difficulties, but hopefully that will take care of itself. And I will be monitoring it to see if you have any questions or comments that you'd like me to relay to our guest on air. Do note that you have to register with Blog Talk Radio first if you wish to participate in the chat room, and you can do that from the blogtalkradio.com homepage. Very simple. So each week, Beth and I offer one or more coaching suggestions by way of our guests to help you experience and integrate the information our guests have generously shared. So following Rhonda's interview, she will give us some suggestions for how to live a more authentic, transparent life. Then, time permitting, I will then share some of my own reflections on purpose, passion, and perseverance and give you a brief overview of next week's episode of Heart and Soul. So finally, Rhonda, I would love, it's my honor to introduce you. So first and foremost, Rhonda is a follower of Jesus Christ. Originally from the Bahamas, she is a speaker, writer, and advocate for the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center in Lynchburg, Virginia, teaching young women who they are, what they were created for, and how they can make positive changes in their lifestyle. Rhonda has served as a high school teacher and has been involved in women's ministry and youth ministry for many years. Her work today is to inspire young women with the truth of who they are and to enable them to fulfill the plan that God has for their lives. She seeks to bring glory to God through her story and through the work He has done in her life, work that only He could do. Rhonda, what else would you like to add to that introduction? And please do say something about your precious family, and hopefully at least one of them is listening today.
I hope they are, at least my husband anyway. My daughter is in school. But yes, I have been married to my wonderful husband, Jeff, for the last 15 years, and we have been gifted with a precious daughter, Audra. And Audra and Jeff, they've been my biggest supporters in living a transparent life and really allowing God to work in my life and helping me to share that with others. So I'm extremely excited about that portion of my life.
Well, that's great. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add to the introduction before we jump right into the interview?
You know what? Just to listen carefully as we go through the interview, whoever is listening, you know, just hear what we're saying. Be open to the possibilities that there's hope at every turn in the road.
That's wonderful. And you know what I'm thinking, Rhonda? I hope Audra wouldn't mind, but I think it would be good if you were to just, even without all the detail, just give a hint of how Audra encouraged you to be doing what you're doing today.
Well, my daughter has always, I've always held truth and honesty as the highest point in my life, and so I've always been very open with her about things that have happened in my life in my past, and at the age of 14, 2 years ago, she said to me, after coming home from a retreat, a girl's retreat, she said, Mom, she says, you know, there are a lot of young women out there who would really benefit from hearing your story. So I'm looking at her, and I'm like, no, we don't want to do this. I'm not sure that I want to do this. You know, sometimes we do things in our past, and we live a life, and we're ashamed. And I was there, and that's where I was. And she was giving me freedom, and she said, but there's so many others who need to know, and you could probably help them. And I had to examine that because she was really speaking everything that I had taught her. She was telling me everything I had taught her. And so I had to examine it. And as I examined it and really checked myself, I realized that she was correct and that God wanted me to do this. And that she was giving me absolute freedom to go ahead and do it. And so from then on, I've done that. And the topic of the show today, like you said, was unlocking secrets and living a transparent life. I've unlocked those secrets, and my life is completely transparent, but God is able to use it now, only now.
So what effect has that had on you, on your daughter, on your husband, on your marriage, this leading a transparent life?
Well, you know, one of the things that I have seen is that we have grown closer together. Like I said, as a mother, sometimes you teach your children, okay, do this, do the next thing. But, you know, if anyone is a teacher out there, you know, a lot of times you learn more as a teacher than a student because you have to live that life. And so I'm now teaching, as I'm teaching her, I have to be transparent. And so it's brought us closer to be honest, and it enables me to do more self-examination and to make sure that I'm lining up in my life the way I need to be lined up, you know? And so that's where, what I've seen, just that, you know?
So basically, you are embodying integrity, and you are modeling what you want your daughter to have close to her heart for the rest of her life.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right. And not just that, you know, I look at my past life, and, you know, one of the things that the work that I do at the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center, I'm a crisis counselor. And a lot of times those are unplanned pregnancies, and a lot of women are seeking abortions. And that's my story, that, you know, I come from a past where I've had an abortion. And so that's hard sometimes to deal with, because it's such a heavy subject and it's such, you know, misunderstanding out there about what it is and what it does to young women. And it destroyed my life in a lot of ways. And so, you know, to be able to work in that arena because of that transparency, I'm helping someone else. You know, my wounds, my hurts are now transforming and have the ability to transform someone else's life and to help it.
The work that Beth and I do, and some other coaches in the True Purpose community who have been on this radio show with us, we really emphasize how the wounds of our past help us to grow and develop in our own souls, okay? And then we, in turn, can help others. And my goodness, that sounds exactly like what you're doing.
Right. And you know, one of the things that this has helped me to really embody, you know, I'm a follower of Christ, but I've known him for a long time, but I think we forget sometimes that he is the creator. And you think of anything in this world that's been created. You think of a computer. Someone created that, and that was created with a purpose. You see a screwdriver. The person who had that in mind, that again had a purpose. But the creator knew the purpose of that item. And I realized he is my creator. And so, you know, as I realized that and really took hold of it, then I'm able to walk in the purpose that he has planned for me. And that's what I meant earlier about really unlocking our past. Our past isn't that we were born here, but why and by whom.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, you're already touching on this whole purpose subject, so let's just go right there right now. What does purpose mean to you?
Purpose means just what I just said, that what we were designed for. And, you know, like I said, we can look at so many things in this world. You know, you have a Honda, it's a vehicle. It's designed for a purpose, to get people from one point to the other. You know, we were all created by someone. And it wasn't just our parents. That's the beauty of it. Our parents cannot unlock everything that we have within us. Only the creator can do that. I'm from the Bahamas, and so when I see my creator in the Bahamas, the first place I look at is I look at the ocean. And I sit on the shoreline, and as I look out onto the ocean, it just goes, and it's huge. And I remember teaching my daughter very young, at a very young age, about God. And so I would show her a pool that a man built. And then I would show her God's pool. And I said, you see, this is God's pool. It's limitless.
Wow.
You know, there are no limits, you know.
Wow.
And so when you look at that, you have to know there's something bigger, there's something greater. But it's just not something, it's God. It's God. He is the creator. Mm-hmm. And then I come here to the United States and I see Virginia and I see these mountains. And again, what man can carve those mountains? So I have to go back to the source of my creation, and so should each one of us in order to be able to walk our true purpose. He has a plan for each one of our lives.
Indeed. Would you like to share with us what your purpose is?
Well, I touched on it earlier. I'm a bond servant. Paul, in the Gospel and in Acts, he calls himself a bond servant. I'm a bond servant of Christ. And a lot of times as Christians, we look at ourselves and we think of ourselves as, you know, I'm sent, I'm a missionary, so forth, so on, but I'm a bond servant. That means that I'm a slave, that but I'm a willing slave. I'm a willing slave. I'm here to glorify first my Creator. In my past life, I wasn't doing that because I didn't know who I was. I didn't understand who my Creator was.
Right.
And so I took a path. It's almost in life, you have this point that you come to a point in life where you have to make decisions for yourself. And it's always two roads. There are always going to be two roads. One looks just like a meandering pathway through a park. And the other one looks like Disney World. And so a lot of times we go to Disney World. The problem with the Disney World road is that it has a cliff at the end of it. And it takes us spiraling down places that we don't want to go. And the scriptures speak about that once we start to sin, and that's what it looks like, we're so filled with amusement that, you know, we get caught up. And that's what happened for me, not knowing my Creator, not knowing how much I was loved, not understanding, I went looking in all the wrong places. And I end up in a lifestyle that no young woman should be in, no young man should be in, regardless. And so I ended up at a point where I ended up having two abortions. And it literally killed me in a lot of ways. It killed my spirit. It killed my soul. I suffered many depressions. I suffered multiple suicides. And I still was lost, though. I still was lost and could not find. Even after I married my husband and my daughter. And see, that's another thing. We think, okay, if we find other people and other things, that's going to help. It didn't help. It didn't help. I've worked in churches and youth group and youth ministries helping others. It did not help. I had to come back and speak to my Creator. And as I sought His face and repented of what I had done, He helped me then to be different and to walk a different way. And so now I'm glad to walk the meandering path, because as I walk that path, He brings things that are more amusing than Disney World. He brought you into my life, Tori.
Oh, thank you, dear.
You know, just by that, I mean, I wouldn't be here speaking to you if I wasn't transparent.
Right.
No?
That's so true. Well, I'd love for you to go back and address something. I understand what you mean, but people who perhaps aren't as familiar with the writings of Paul in the New Testament as you and I are might not get this reference to bondservant and willing slave. That sounds horrible. Okay, so you say that you that you've gone from this Disney World, so to speak, at least, you know, so it looked in the beginning, this Disney World path, which had lots of amusement in it, perhaps at first, but it led to very difficult situations for you. You've gone from that to the meandering path, which is bringing lovely things into your life. But how does willing slave fit into that?
You know, talking about the Apostle Paul, if you go to the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, and it is an inspired word, and it's all true in my belief, we hear about Paul, and he's not just a character. He's a person just like you and I, and educated, extremely educated man. And he sought to do right, too, but in his own life, he persecuted Christians. He felt as if it was his call to do this, and he did. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of things that he did. But one day he had an encounter, and the thing is, he was killing Christians thinking that he was doing the right thing.
And he was very effective at it. He was one of the best.
he was the best. Like he said, his word says that he was the chiefest among sinners.
Right.
And that's why I you know, align myself with him, because that's how I feel. I was the chiefest, and I give no glory to that. The glory comes by my encounter, just as Paul's glory comes through his encounter. And one day he encountered a man, and he is Jesus. But he's not just a man like we are. He is the Almighty. And because of that encounter, the same zeal
yep.
that he persecuted Christians with, he now used to reach others for Christ. And that's what I mean to be a bondservant. A bondservant is somebody, you hear about slaves and you hear about slavery, and that people paint it in a negative way.
Right.
But it's someone who has to do the will of the master. But if you come back and you think about it like this, think of our children. I think of my daughter and the relationship that we have. And see, that's the key, relationship. The relationship that we have, she's a willing servant to me. Not that mm-hmm. she waits on me, but she's willing to do the things that pleases me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. You see, that's what a bond servant is. You're willing because of the relationship you have, because of the relationship that I have with Christ and knowing mm-hmm. him as my creator, and also that he's given me this gift, a gift of eternal life.
Yeah.
I can't or don't want to do anything else but to please him.
And I'm hearing a lot of zeal, so yet another way that you can compare yourself to Paul, right? Or we can compare yes. you to Paul. Well, tell us about your situation. I mean, with Paul, we refer to it as the road to Damascus, you know, the big conversion thing. What happened to you? How did you go from the road to Disney World to this other meandering path where beautiful things are showing up in your life? Not without
oh, wow.
challenges, of course, but... Yeah, you know, what happened? Was there, I mean, for a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they have this, you know, and probably other faiths as well, okay? They have a moment that they can point to and say, okay,
correct.
This is when I converted from X to Y, okay?
Correct.
Other people don't. Maybe they were born into it or whatever. What's your story? What happened to you?
Well, you know, for me, I'll tell you, I grew up in an Anglican church, and some people may not know Anglicans. Reference it to the Episcopalian Church. And so we're very much into rituals and tradition. And at the age of 14, 15, I was involved in youth group and very involved. At one point, I was the director of our youth group. But there came a time when there was a change happening in our church and the young people wanted more. And we had some young adults and some younger priests who also wanted more. And there's a movement came through, and it was called Crecio.
Yeah, yeah.
Some people would call it a revival as such.
Mm-hmm.
But it was teaching something different. You know, in our churches, we had mass books with the scriptures and everything. And we always heard the scriptures. We always heard the gospel. But it wasn't resonating because somehow God was still distant. Well, the Crecio movement brought him closer. It said he can be a personal God, something different, something that we can have, the Holy Spirit. We talked more about the Holy Spirit. And so I got saved at that point.
Mm.
But what happens a lot of times is that we make converts, but
mm-hmm.
we don't make disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference with a convert is I give you the scriptures and you're saved. Okay, but then what happens? I'm left out there, and that's
mm-hmm.
what happened. I wasn't made a disciple, and so that's when I really started to fall, because another thing, too, is that once you're out there in Disney World, you know, you don't need to be, no one's going to be too concerned with you,
mm-hmm.
you know? So now I've made that change, and that point comes in my life. I have a target on my back, but I don't know what to do with this because I didn't even realize that this happened. You see,
okay.
again, I wasn't taught what it really looks like. I wasn't discipled as to what it looks like to walk as a Christian daily.
All right.
So when these darts came at me, I didn't have anything to fight with.
Mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
I didn't really understand
how to fight, because that's really what it is. It's a war. And so I fell into sin. I really, and in a way, it just constantly came.
Yeah.
My reconversion, or, you know, my recommitment came, my daughter was 3 years old, and it had been at least 10 years before, since my abortion. And you would think, okay, well, she should be over it or whatever. But, you know, the darkness and the secrets that you have in your life, they stay with you, and they become a weight. And
mm-hmm.
that weight became heavier and heavier and heavier. And eventually, again, like I said, I was trying suicide attempts because I felt worthless. There was shame, there was guilt, and all of those things pressed heavy on me. And I tried to commit suicide again, and they locked me up in what you call, it was a hospital, but it was a psych ward in a way to make sure that I would be okay.
And were you still in the Bahamas at that point?
I'm still in the Bahamas, yes. And my pastor, he sent me some sermons. And one of the sermons that he sent me reminded me that God allows us sometimes to go through the fire so that we can come out as pure gold.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that that's what he desired for me. My mom couldn't tell me this. My daughter couldn't love me enough. My husband couldn't give me this. But his word said that even though I was going through the fire, that there was hope. See, the pure gold at the end of the fire showed me there was something else, that life wasn't over, that I didn't have to give up. That, yes, I had done things in my past, but he had said to me that he'd forgiven. I didn't believe it. I didn't walk in it. I had to embrace it. After I embraced it, I started to do different. But again, there were still issues, and that's why my daughter still had to come back years later and say, "You need to do more. You need to do more." You know, and
well, she's been a little angel in your life, hasn't she?
She has. She sure has. She is the most precious gift. Oh my word! Every single day I look at her, and I thank God. I thank God because, you know, his gifts are truly, truly amazing. Truly amazing. And I work for her, but I also work for my two other kids. The work that I do at the center is in honor of their lives.
Yes.
Every single day.
Yes, of course.
Blue Ridge, you know, I come to the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center because of them. Also because of Audra, but because of them. Because their life has to count for something.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Well, God bless you. I mean, you're certainly talking about passion, purpose, and perseverance. Without any, if anyone wonders, I wonder why Jory invited her to be a guest on Heart and Soul. I mean, just you embody all three. Well, tell us about your work at the center. How did that come about?
Well, after my daughter encouraged me, and at the time she was encouraging me, I found freedom. I had embraced forgiveness, but I was still living in shame and guilt in some ways. I didn't want anyone to know. You know, a lot of times, and you know, I'm a Christian, but sometimes we hurt our own.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and so I was afraid. I was afraid to be transparent. I was afraid that people would not accept me, people would judge me. I was afraid, and so I kept quiet. And so that's really what her encouragement did for me. And I was involved in a study at that time called Breaking Free. And I spoke to two friends. I said, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to trust you." And I'm not going to worry about what anyone else says to me. You know, his word says in one point, "Do you seek to please me or do you seek to please man?" And so I said, "Okay, I'm going to please you. I'm going to please you." And I told two people about it. And one of them had me call the executive director at the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center, Lori. And I'm like, "Well, why is she telling me to call her? You know, I don't know that I want to tell another person." You know, I don't know, this is a bit much, you know, and it's just coming, you know, it's like, whoo. So I said, okay, I take a deep breath, and I'm the type of person, I have to just do it. If I don't do it, if I dwell on it too much, it won't happen. So I said, okay, let me do this. So I call Lori, she's the executive director at the center, and she tells me her story. So she says that her story is similar to mine. Well, that blew me away because I didn't think that I was worthy enough to help others in this way. I didn't even know that a center like this existed. We didn't. I don't remember having a crisis pregnancy center in the Bahamas. So this was news to me. And I've been in Lynchburg for the last 7 years. I did not know that this center existed. You know. But again, that shows you that as you're walking and doing the things you need to do, he's going to bring the right things in place. You see?
Absolutely.
So as I spoke with Lori, she encouraged me to come to a post-abortion study. And I'm like, well, I don't need a post-abortion study because, you know, I know I'm forgiven and it's all good. You know,
what does that mean, post-abortion study?
Well, a post-abortion study is biblically based. Everything we do at the center is biblically based. But a post-abortion means just what it says, someone who's already had an abortion, but they're still suffering some sort of hurts and hang-ups, just like I had.
Yeah.
But they need freedom. You need freedom. In order to be transparent, you have to be truly free. And so you have to work through these different things, you know, because it's a process. Also, you don't know, you know. I was still a mother, even though I had aborted my kids. I was a mother still.
Absolutely.
And so there was a grieving process that I had to go through. There was anger. There was hurt. There was pain. There was God's forgiving me. There's healing. And so that's what a post-abortion Bible study looks like.
Oh, and Bible study. Okay, I'm with you now. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And so we went through that process. Now, the thing about it is that I realized that I wanted to also volunteer at the center at that time. So,
Rhonda, let me interrupt for a second. What is the purpose or the mission of the Blue Ridge Crisis Pregnancy Center?
The purpose of the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center is to reach women with the Word of God during a crisis situation, to assist them in any way possible, educating them on all of their options, for their pregnancy. We are a nonprofit Christian organization, and so everything we do here is based on Scripture. Everything we do here is free and confidential. And our job and our mission is to come alongside these women and men now, because we realize that these women are not alone. There's a man involved also, to help them during this process, to let them know that life doesn't end here. Because a lot of them, they're unplanned. And so they think it's an interruption that, you know, can't go away or won't go away. So our mission is to come alongside them and assist them in any way possible we can. We do abortion counseling, helping people, what is an abortion, why. We do not refer for abortions, but we want them to be educated to understand what could potentially come from that.
Okay.
We have just regular pregnancy counseling, where we have parenting and life skills programs where young women and men can come in, and we will assist them with parenting and life skills training up until a child is 2 years old. And we see a lot of people in
fabulous.
Many, you know, different areas of the community. So we're very, very vital service to the community in Lynchburg.
Indeed.
You know, I'm really excited about what happens here.
I can hear
very
that.
Excited.
Well, go back to your story. It was cool.
Okay. Well, what I've found since I've been transparent is that the doors just open. And so I'm in the midst of a tsunami because I'm doing Breaking Free, which is a Bible study. I'm doing a post-abortion study, and I'm doing the voluntary training at the same time.
Wow.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, God, I don't know what all of this is, but you know. And he just took me through that process in a matter of a couple of months. And like I said, I was set free. I was set free. But there was a desire in me, a zeal in me for young women to not have to go through what I had been through.
Sure.
You know? And that looks so different. It could be the girl like me who has already had an abortion, but it could be the girl who is considering it. Mm-hmm. But it could also be a girl like my daughter who just wants to know how to stay pure.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a young man who doesn't know, how do I be a young man? I don't know. Mm-hmm. They're telling me to be a man, but I don't know what that looks like, you know?
Right. Oh, wow. So you all help with that, too.
We do.
Rhonda, is there an age limit? I mean, I have friends who are my age, in their 50s, who had abortions when they were younger and still having trouble. So, I mean, is there a limit, an age limit, to the work that you all do at the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center, Crisis Pregnancy Center? Well, it's crisis,
no,
though.
Mm-hmm. There's no age limit. There's no age limit. We have seen... Mm. I'm sure if I remember correctly, Lori has seen a woman maybe in her 60s or 70s.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. You know why? Because, you know, we categorize certain things in this life. Certain things are bigger than others.
Right.
And so people are afraid sometimes to say the things that they've done because they are afraid. They are ashamed. We all want to be accepted, Jory. We all want
sure.
to be accepted. And so if we feel that something in our lives is going to cause us to not be accepted, then we hide that. We keep
that's
that
right.
secret. And mm-hmm. But like I said, secrets at the end of the day only burden us. Because you think about it, you're coming out of your house and you have to put on that mask
mm-hmm.
to hide that secret. So that's a lot of work. That's something added that you don't need. And so, yeah, and you know, it's, statistics say that one in three, if you're in a church, if you're in a mm-hmm. university, if you're in any setting, one in three, and if you ask every third person to stand up, you would be surprised how many women have experienced this.
Really? One in three?
Yes, one in three.
Okay.
One in three.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
Three.
I do want to speak to something, you know, our mutual friend, Ann Skalaski, the way I first heard about you, Rhonda, was she was just mentioning to me that there was this lovely woman in her Sunday school class who, I guess you just, and that would be you, somehow it came up or something in class, and it was a pretty large class, and that you received just an outpouring of acceptance and understanding. And can you speak to that a little bit?
Well, that was a part of my process.
Mm-hmm.
After I had done the post-abortion study, after I had done Breaking Free and started to volunteer, I realized I couldn't keep silent because, like you said, there's so many women out there living with this because they're afraid to tell anyone. They're
mm-hmm.
afraid. They think that, you know, I was afraid. I was afraid that I wouldn't be accepted. And you know, I'll add a little something else in here, and this will tie in and help you understand in a way. I just shared it with a friend of mine last week. I'm from the Bahamas, okay, and so I'm a black person, but where I come from, we're predominantly black, so I've never had issues. And I come to the States, and there's an undercurrent of, you know, racial, but... I don't know anything about that, you see?
Wow, how nice.
Area, I come into an area where it's predominantly white. Okay?
And you're the minority.
White, I'm mm-hmm. the minority, exactly. You know, but I hear other people of similar color to me, they're saying, oh, this or that and the next thing. But I'm not experiencing that. But there's just that fear there that, okay, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. So I'm coming with that, and then I have this other secret. So there's a lot of fear built in.
Being
accepted, like I said. I want to be accepted. And I'm not saying that, you know, it couldn't happen with a white woman. Of course it could, because the stigma of abortion is really big,
wow.
you know. And because I can say this honestly.
Well, let me ask you, wait, Rhonda, I'm sorry. Do you think it's just big among Christians? I mean, you say stigma, but... I mean, I think there are probably a lot of people who aren't ashamed or afraid, right? I mean, they're embraced by other communities. What do you think?
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And I can tell you, I come from a country where I never really heard about abortion rights and all those things.
Yeah.
until I came here, and I did hear it in the Christian community, and there was a lot of outrage. And I think, and that was a part of the fear, that there's going to be outrage, that people are going to hate me for what I've done.
Wow.
You know, and yeah, there was that, and that was my fear. That was my fear, you know, and it's okay. I do not believe in abortion. Yes, I've had an abortion. I do not believe. I believe it's a sin against God, but it's the same as every other sin.
Yeah.
If you lie, you are just as bad as me. Do I see myself as a murderer? Yes. Guess what, jury? You cannot see me any worse than I saw myself. You see the thing?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of lies that go along with that, you know. And it isn't so much people. You see, the thing is, and we could go into a whole theological
indeed,
but, you know, the opposite of Jesus Christ is Satan. And so he sends these lies in so many different forms, you know. And so those are the lies that we got, and those are the lies that I got. And so I was afraid.
Yeah.
I was afraid to tell my class, my Sunday school class. I looked up to these people. I wanted them to be my friends. So I did not want them to know my dirt, per se.
And already you're feeling a little bit perhaps estranged because you are from the Bahamas. The color of your skin is not the same as most of the people in the Sunday school class. So you're already feeling that, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But after I had been truly set free, I know I could not be quiet.
Wow.
And so I think we were studying a passage in Romans, and it talked about, you know, you once you start to sin and how slippery the slope is, and it keeps getting worse and it keeps getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I was just prompted by the Holy Spirit to speak, and I spoke, and you're right, Anne was absolutely correct. The response that I received was so great. It was
wow.
so great. And but you know what it was? It wasn't, again, like I said, to glory my sin. It was what Christ had done in me, the encounter that I had. I'm going to give another little quote from the scriptures. and I guess, again, this is theological in some ways. But, and when I talked about discipling, Jesus Christ walked the earth, and he walked with a certain group of men.
Mm-hmm.
Those men were uneducated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't go to university. They didn't have a doctor's degree. They didn't have a master's degree. They had none of that. They were simple fishermen and simple everyday workers. And there came a time where he had to leave them, and they had to teach others about him.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought many to the church. The church grew because of those men. 5,000 in one period. And the scripture.
And I think we should throw in some women there too, don't you think?
Yes, definitely. But see, that's five. See, the scriptures typically only count men. So count 5,000 and then multiply it by two, because a lot of them are probably married and
there you go.
Children. So it's even a lot more, you know. But people were amazed, but they knew these men were not learned. And so they knew they had to have been with Jesus. And that's what makes us different and should make us different.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of that encounter, that's what made Paul different. Because when people saw Paul, they knew who he was before. And they see this new man, they're like, okay, there's something different. When people see me, it should be the same thing.
Yeah.
You see? Someone may have known me at a different point. But
right.
now they know me because of this encounter. It should be something totally different. I should look different.
So let me ask you this. So you experienced the love of Christ, an outpouring of love in the Sunday school class, or hopefully you would, the Sunday school class, for heaven's sakes, right? No pun intended. And if somebody were to go to the Blue Ridge Crisis Pregnancy Center, how would they be treated, received, embraced?
You know what? I can honestly tell you, from the moment they enter our doors, they are embraced with love.
Mm.
And that can be proven. We do an exit survey with our clients, and it's an anonymous survey, so they don't need to worry about who's saying what or whatever. And every single time they enter these doors, they feel that they've been enveloped into love. And you know, sometimes an unsaved person is afraid to be spoken to about Scripture because they feel as they're bashed. And most of our women they want to hear the word of God, but it comes because of how they're treated. They're treated with respect. They're loved. They're given hope. And everybody needs that, Jory. We need hope. In this world, we all need hope. Things are going wrong in so many different facets, but we have to know that there's something more.
Well, if somebody is listening to this or they know of somebody who is that could benefit from it, how would they get in touch with you or the Blue Ridge Crisis Pregnancy Center? Can you give some contact information?
Yes, you can reach us. Our telephone numbers are 434-528-9750 or 434-528-4321. You can also reach us at 1915 Thompson Drive in Lynchburg, Virginia. And you could do a search for brpc.org.
Say that again.
BRPC.
For Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center, .org.
Correct.
Okay, great.
And you know what? If you're not in the Lynchburg area, there are crisis pregnancy centers in most of the cities. Most of the cities around the U.S., we have crisis pregnancy centers.
Excellent. Well, thank you. What 3 points do you want our listeners to walk away with?
I want them to walk away with there's hope. There's always hope. There's always hope, and that God is in control. I want them to realize that there is a God, and he's there waiting for us to come to him, that we just need to seek him. I want them also to know authentic living. Take off the mask. We all have them. But we all want to know people in a different way. But we can't do that until we're willing to be transparent. You know, those are the things I really, really want them to know. There's always hope. There's always hope. If you can't reach anyone else to give you a reason for hope in this world, call me. I can encourage you. I sure can. I'm available, and that's the next thing. I really try to be available to others. You know,
that's very
but
obvious.
I need to make a correction on the website. It's
okay.
Blue Ridge PC.
Oh, okay.
B L U E R I D G E P C dot org.
Excellent, excellent. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Perfect. Thank you. So, can you sum up how you have been transformed by the conversion experience that you had? You know, then you went through a discipleship where it really sunk in, right? So we've talked about that. But also your work at the pregnancy center has continued this transformation process. So where are you now? How have you been transformed, and where do you see yourself going?
Well, one of the ways that I've been transformed is to give more. To give more. You know, a lot of times we do give, and it's monetary or something we hold valuable. I know when my daughter was a child, you know, we'd always have Christmas offers and different things like that, and I would say, okay, pick the most favorite toy that you have and give it to someone else. So we think to give something that's valuable. And what I've really learned is that the most valuable commodity that I have right now is my time. And that hit home for me this past week. And you know, I'm here at the center. I'm involved in my church ministries. I try to mentor young women as often as I can. But I still felt as if there was more to give, but I didn't know how. And that came about, too, because I'm doing another Bible study called Deeper Still. And you think to yourself, okay, God, I'm doing all these things. I must be okay now. And I encountered one of my neighbors. One morning, I was rushing to Bible study, and she stopped me, and I'm like, okay, but I'm in a rush. And she called me over, Jory, and she told me that her fiancé had committed suicide the day before.
Oh.
That rocked my world, because immediately I grieved for her. Yes. But I grieved for myself, too, and for God, because I don't think that me as a person had touched his life. And so I was totally convicted. And I was totally convicted, too, because, again, another study we're doing right now is called Live Like You're Dying. If you had 30 days to live, what would you do that was different?
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't consider. Suppose the other person had 30 days to live. What would you do differently?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good point.
And that's where I am, and that's how I have grown, to give. You give unconditionally, not expecting anything else. But if I'm going to truly give God glory, then I have to give him glory with every single person that I come into contact with. And that means that I'm going to have to give something of myself. And the most valuable thing I have is my time.
Well, think of what you did, though. You did stop. You didn't rush off. You listen to this lady, as, you know, when she needed to talk to you. So I bless you for that, you know. Really, really, that's beautiful. Well, thank you, dear. At this point, I'm wondering if you could, and I'm keeping an eye on the time, because the archive will keep going, but the live show will end in 9 minutes. So I just want to be cognizant of that. So tell us, what would be your suggestions for our listeners, for me, to be able to integrate the information that you have generously shared with us?
Well, first of all, like I said earlier, we need to seek God. The way we do that is to go into his word. For those of us who don't know what that even means, you go into a crisis pregnancy center and ask someone. You go into a church and you ask someone, who is this Jesus that I'm hearing about? You know, ask someone, and then ask them, don't just convert me. Ask to be a disciple. Can someone come along beside me and mentor me to help me through this process? You know, we have mentors in so many other arenas, but we need a mentor in that area too. Secondly, I would think to love others, not with an emotional love, but a love that comes from your will. It's a commitment. It's a choice to love someone. You know, believing that every person has something good to give, and they all have something good to give because they're created by the Almighty, and He is all good.
That's right.
So there has to be something good.
Hey, Rhonda, what are the top two commandments?
Okay, to love God and love thy neighbor as thyself. Those are the two. And that's what Jesus said. He said to love God and love others as ourselves. I don't think we've truly, truly understand what that means. You know? But, Jory, I see because I look around and I walk around every day to look not at people's faces, at their clothing, at their skin, but to look for their hearts.
Yeah.
And I think as we look at each other's hearts, then we see hurting people. We see people who are eager to connect. And that's what we all desire. We all desire that. We all desire that.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, thank you. This is beautiful. Should we stop at those two? I know I interrupted you.
That's fine. Looking, if we look around, for me, in the Bahamas, I looked at the ocean. And as I looked at the ocean, I know no man could create that.
Yeah.
As I came to the Virginia and North Carolina, I saw the mountains. And again, I could see that no man could create that. So there has to be a creator. And as a creator, he created each of us. And so we all have a purpose because of that creation.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It says in Psalms, in the Psalms, that he knew me, and he knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knew us.
When you were in your mother's womb.
In our mother's womb. That's right. You know, think about it. I have a lot of hair on my head, and I couldn't tell you the amount that I have on there. You know, in Jeremiah, in the scriptures again, it says that, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. Plans to bring you health. And I think I remember, and I'm not a United States citizen, but I remember driving to Washington, and those words are on one of the buildings in Washington.
Are they? I didn't know that.
They are. And I cannot tell you which building, but they are one of the buildings in Washington, D.C. So think about that, you know, as the forefathers put those things in different places, what did they stand on? They stand on the truth of the gospel. Mm. That's what they stood on, you know. That's what they stood on. My life has been transformed because of my encounter with Christ. And my encounter with Christ was good because he died for me. He died for me. But he didn't just die. I don't serve a dead Savior.
No.
I serve a risen Lord because 3 days later, he rose again. And he's now seated at the right hand of the Father, waiting one day to come back. That's the message that we try to give each and every person that comes into the center.
That's right.
We can teach them about all the risks of abortions. We can teach them about parenting and life skills. But if we can't give them Christ, we've done nothing for them. We've done absolutely nothing for them if we cannot give them the truth of the Scriptures. Because that's the only thing that can truly, truly change their lives. That's what changed my life. I'm educated. I've been to university. I've been a teacher, you know.
Yep.
But
yep.
The one thing that changed my life was knowing him as my personal Savior. And so that's the number one thing that I would say to someone.
That is beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being so transparent. I would imagine the staff at Blue Ridge Crisis Pregnancy Center is jumping up and down, just so proud of you. Well, if you'd hold on a minute, sweetie, I need to introduce next week's guest, if that's okay. On November 10th, our guest will be Laura Rice, who is an award-winning speaker, life purpose and business coach, and a life purpose expert. She's the founder of Purpose to Prosperity and the author of Six Simple Step System. Whoa, it's a lot of S's. To unlock your life's purpose and to make money living it. 5 years ago, Laura was working a dead-end job that was causing a health crisis in her life and draining her vital life force energy. In 2 short years, using all of the purpose and empowerment tools that she teaches now, she's moved across the country to California and started a thriving coaching practice with clients all over the world, helping women discover their life purpose, transition out of their day jobs, and start their own successful businesses. So Laura will be here next week, and we look forward to having her with us. Well, Rhonda, thank you so much. The quote that you have already said is from Jeremiah 29:11, and I will just briefly say that again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And though I wasn't thinking about the buildings in Washington, D.C., that does happen to be the only scripture verse I have on my website. So there you go.
Wow.
Well, Rhonda, thank you so much. And everybody, you've been listening to Heart and Soul with Jory Fisher, a calling, career, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia, and with our very passionate, purposeful guest, Rhonda Darville, that's D-A-R-V-I-L-L-E, also from beautiful Lynchburg, Virginia. And thank you, Rhonda. Would you please state again just how people can get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach me at the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center in Lynchburg, Virginia. Our contact number is 434-528-9750. You can also reach me at my personal email, which is rpdarville, D-A-R-V-I-L-L-E, at liberty.edu. And you can also reach me at the Blue Ridge Pregnancy Center's website, Blue Ridge, B-L-U-E-R-I-D-G-E, pc.org.
Well, thank you, dear. Well, thank you, everybody, listening live and on the recording. Please visit my website, womenfindpurpose.com, to find out more about my coaching and consulting services and to access all of our Heart and Soul archives. Each week, I post the coaching suggestions of our guests as well as their quotes and bios. So, Rhonda, you will be up there later this afternoon with your coaching suggestions. You may also email me at Jory, J-O-R-Y, at womenfindpurpose.com, or Beth at BethSchanzani at AOL.com if you'd like to share your questions, ideas, or comments with us, or if you'd like to receive our weekly announcements of upcoming shows on Heart and Soul. So, Rhonda, would you like to say goodbye to our listeners?
Yes, I would. Jory, thank you, first of all, for the work that you do. And thank you, listeners. Be encouraged. Joy, thank you. Continue doing your work. This is you definitely are fulfilling your purpose.
It's my privilege, my joy. Well, thank you, Rhonda. Well, until next week then, may God bless you and keep you, and may you become fully the person you're designed to be. God bless you, Rhonda, and your work. And goodbye to your beautiful Audra and your husband, because I know they're listening.
Yes. Thank you, and God bless you too, George.
Thank you, dear. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.